All right, let's jump into this deep dive. We're tackling the Book of Proverbs today, and I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah.
Our listeners sent in this lecture by Dr. Ned Heim. And,
Interesting.
Well, it turns out there might be more to these ancient sayings than meets the eye. So he's suggesting that there's a hidden editorial strategy behind how the Proverbs are arranged.
Really?
Yeah, especially in chapters 10 through 29.
Okay, I'm intrigued already.
We're going to uncover some pretty unexpected connections between ants and suns and summer harvests.
Okay.
So buckle up.
What Dr. Heim finds so fascinating is how these later chapters are structured.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not like those opening chapters with the long speeches about lady wisdom.
So we're talking about those classic short and sweet proverbs, right? Like the ones we all know and love. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother.
Exactly.
What's different about them in these later chapters?
They're individual sayings, but Dr. Heim's big argument is that they're grouped in these meaningful clusters.
Oh, okay.
Like, imagine a collection of carefully arranged jewels, each one reflecting light on the others.
I'm picturing a beautiful mosaic where the placement of each piece is crucial.
Exactly.
So Dr. Heim is suggesting we can't just take each proverb in isolation. We need to look at its context to fully grasp its meaning.
Precisely.
That's pretty cool.
And to show this, he uses this concept of variant repetitions.
What does that mean?
It's where you have similar proverbs with slight but significant variations.
Okay.
For example, he compares three proverbs, Proverbs 6.8, 30.25, and 10.5.
Okay.
All dealing with diligence, but with these fascinating twists.
But wouldn't that make interpreting Proverbs super subjective?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Dr. Heim is very aware of that.
Okay.
That's why he dives deep into the specific wording and context of each proverb.
Okay, got it.
Within its cluster.
All right, let's hear about these ant and sun proverbs.
Okay, first up, we have the ants.
Okay.
Proverbs 6.8 says, "The ant prepares its food in summer and gathers its provisions during harvest." Seems pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
But then we jump to Proverbs 30.25,
okay,
which says, "The ants are a people without strength, yet they prepare their food in summer."
Okay, so I noticed two things right away.
Yeah, what are they?
The first is that the first proverb refers to a single ant, but the second one talks about ants, plural.
Right.
And the second thing I noticed is that the second half of each verse is totally different.
Exactly. Those are the subtle shifts Dr. Heim focuses on.
So even small details like singular versus plural can actually change the message. Why is that? What does Dr. Heim say about these differences?
He argues that even these tiny variations can have a big impact,
yep,
depending on the context within the cluster.
Okay.
For example, the singular ant in 6.8,
right,
might be emphasizing individual initiative,
hmm,
while the plural ants in 30.25 could be highlighting collective effort.
Oh.
Even, yeah, for those who seem weak.
I see.
So each version of the proverb is adding another layer of meaning to the concept of diligence.
I like it, yeah.
And this all ties into how Dr. Heim challenges this traditional idea of strict parallelism in Proverbs.
Wait, what does parallelism mean in this context?
It's the idea that Proverbs often present two contrasting ideas or images to highlight a moral lesson. For example, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother.
Right. Classic proverb.
But Dr. Heim argues that the comparisons can be more nuanced than just good versus bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Proverbs 10.5. A son who gathers in summer is prudent, but a son who sleeps during harvest brings shame.
Right.
So here you have the diligent son gathering in summer contrasted with the son who sleeps through harvest.
Okay, I see the contrast. But gathering and sleeping aren't exact opposites, are they?
Exactly. Yep. That's Dr. Heim's point.
Okay.
He argues that these imprecise antonyms actually create this surplus of information, leading to deeper meaning.
Oh.
It's not just about working versus not working.
Right.
But about being proactive and wise versus being lazy and foolish.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So the proverb is implying much more than a simple contrast.
Yeah.
It's adding layers of meaning by playing with these less precise antonyms.
I'm starting to see how this is all coming together.
Yeah.
It's like solving a literary puzzle.
Exactly.
We need to gather all the pieces.
Right.
Examine each one carefully and then see how they fit together to reveal the bigger picture.
Exactly. And that's where Dr. Heim's interpretation of Proverbs 10.5 gets really fascinating.
Okay. I'm all ears.
He believes this verse isn't just a random proverb about diligence. It's strategically placed.
Okay, tell me more.
within the cluster.
Yeah.
Dr. Heim proposes that Proverbs 10.5 is deliberately positioned after those ant proverbs we just discussed.
Oh, interesting.
He sees it as a real-world application of the ant analogy,
right,
urging young men to emulate that same diligent spirit, not just in gathering food, but in all aspects of life.
So it's like Proverbs is saying, hey, look at those ants. They work hard and prepare for the future. You should too, son.
You got it. And this is where the idea of the hidden editorial strategy comes in.
Okay.
Dr. Heim is suggesting that the placement of these proverbs, especially those with variant repetitions,
right,
is deliberate and purposeful.
So the editors of Proverbs were like master storytellers.
Exactly.
Carefully arranging these sayings to guide the reader towards deeper understanding.
Precisely. But not everyone agrees with Dr. Heim's approach.
Oh, of course not. Where would the fun be in that?
Right.
So who disagrees?
He actually gets into a bit of a back and forth with another scholar, Trimp Longman.
Okay.
Who has a different perspective on these so-called proverbial clusters.
Ooh, a scholarly debate. Now we're talking. What are Longman's thoughts on all this?
Longman challenges the idea that these proverbs were intentionally grouped together.
Hmm.
He believes they were added to the book over time, perhaps individually or in small groups, but essentially randomly.
So Longman is team random collection.
Yes.
While Dr. Heim is team intentional arrangement.
Exactly.
This is getting good.
What does Dr. Heim say in response?
Yeah, what does he say?
He argues that Longman's view is too simplistic.
Hmm.
He meticulously demonstrates that variant repetitions aren't randomly sprinkled throughout Proverbs.
Oh, wow.
They're strategically placed to create these interconnected clusters of meaning.
So it's not just about similar topics being near each other, but about the subtle variations and how they play off each other.
Precisely.
Within the context of these clusters.
Exactly.
I like it.
Dr. Heim emphasizes that even if scholars debate the exact boundaries of these groupings,
right,
the very fact that connections exist points to an intentional editorial strategy at play.
All right, this is super interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's strong evidence for both sides of this argument.
Yeah.
Is it possible that some proverbs are intentionally grouped while others are more random?
That's a really good question, and it kind of highlights the challenge of interpreting these ancient texts, right?
Yeah.
We can't always know for certain what the author or editor intended.
But if we can't be certain, doesn't that make Dr. Heim's whole argument a bit shaky?
Hmm.
If it's all up for interpretation, couldn't anyone just find connections wherever they want?
That's a valid concern, but I think the value of Dr. Heim's approach is
yeah.
that it encourages us to be more attentive readers.
Okay.
Instead of just skimming through Proverbs,
right,
you're encouraged to slow down, look for those subtle connections, and consider the possibility of a larger design at play.
Okay, I see your point. It's like we're becoming literary detectives.
Exactly.
Searching for clues and patterns that might reveal a deeper meaning.
Right. And sometimes, even if we don't find definitive answers,
yeah,
the process of searching itself can deepen our understanding and appreciation of the text.
So even if we don't fully agree with Dr. Heim,
yeah,
his work gives us a new set of tools for engaging with Proverbs.
For sure.
We can appreciate both the individual brilliance of each proverb and the possibility that they're part of a larger interconnected system of wisdom.
Absolutely. And this idea of variant repetitions is key to understanding that system. It's not just about similar themes being clustered together,
yeah,
but about how the subtle differences between those variations create a multi-layered message.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand why those slight variations are so important. It's like they're adding nuances and shading to the overall picture.
Right.
Just like an artist uses different brushstrokes to create depth and texture.
That's a great analogy. We have to pay close attention to those subtle shifts in wording or context to fully appreciate the richness of these proverbs. They're not just giving us one simple lesson.
Right.
They're prompting us to think deeply about the complexities of life.
So it's not just about finding the right interpretation, but about engaging in this thoughtful dialogue with the text,
yeah,
considering different perspectives and allowing the wisdom to unfold over time.
Exactly. And that kind of engagement can be incredibly rewarding.
Speaking of engaging with the text, let's go back to that debate between Dr. Heim and Longman. You mentioned that Longman uses an example from Proverbs to support his argument against intentional grouping. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. Longman acknowledges the clear connection between Proverbs 10.4 and 10.5.
Okay.
The first verse states a general principle. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Right.
And the second provides a specific illustration of that principle with the diligent son gathering in summer and the lazy sun sleeping through harvest.
Okay, so Longman agrees that there's a connection there.
Yeah.
But how does he use this example to support his argument?
He argues that this connection, while undeniable,
yeah,
doesn't actually change or enrich our understanding of either proverb.
So he's basically saying, yes, there's a link, but it's not that big of a deal.
That's a good summary.
Okay.
He sees the connection as straightforward and self-evident, not necessarily indicative of a larger editorial strategy.
So I can see how that would support his view of proverbs being added more randomly. But what's Dr. Heim's response to this? Doesn't he see those two verses as connected?
Oh, he absolutely does.
Okay.
In fact, he uses Longman's own example to kind of challenge his argument.
Interesting.
Dr. Heim points out that if we acknowledge a clear relationship between Proverbs 10.4 and 10.5,
right,
why wouldn't that relationship extend to the preceding verses?
So Dr. Heim is essentially saying, if you admit there's a pattern in two verses, why assume it stops there?
Exactly.
He's looking for the bigger picture, the overarching design that Longman might be missing.
Precisely. And Dr. Heim goes on to suggest that Proverbs 10.5
yeah,
is not only a specific example of the general principle in 10.4,
okay,
but also a deliberate adaptation of Proverbs 6.8.
Oh, wow.
That ant proverb we discussed earlier.
Right.
He sees it as strategically placed to echo the themes of diligence,
okay,
and create this thematic link between these two sections of the book.
This is getting really complex.
Yeah.
So we have these layers of meaning built upon echoes and connections across chapters, all pointing to a deliberate editorial strategy. But I still wonder about those imprecise antonyms we talked about earlier.
Mm.
The confident son and the disgraceful son in Proverbs 10.5.
Right.
How can we be sure we're interpreting those correctly?
That's where considering the entire cluster becomes crucial.
Okay.
Dr. Heim argues that when we look at the surrounding verses,
yeah,
those seemingly imprecise antonyms become much more meaningful.
So the context helps us refine our understanding.
Exactly. The competent son from Proverbs 10.5 takes on deeper meaning when we consider the broader theme of wisdom and honor,
okay,
that runs through the surrounding verses.
Okay.
He becomes the wise son who brings joy to his father.
Right.
Similarly, the disgraceful son becomes associated with foolishness and the grief he brings to his mother.
So by paying attention to the context, those seemingly simple antonyms reveal a much richer tapestry of meaning.
Precisely. And that leads to Dr. Heim's ultimate conclusion.
Okay, what's that?
That reading these proverbs in their intentional groupings does, in fact, change and enrich our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The connections, the repetitions, the variations, they all work together to create this multi-layered system of wisdom.
This has been incredibly eye-opening. We've gone from simple sayings about ants and sons to uncovering a potential hidden editorial strategy in proverbs.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much depth and complexity there is to discover when we slow down and pay attention to the details.
It really is. It's a testament to the enduring power of these ancient texts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just dusty relics from the past.
Right.
They offer profound insights into human nature and the challenges of living a good life.
You know, I have to admit, I often read Proverbs as this like collection of isolated sayings.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of a hidden editorial strategy,
yeah,
it's really changed my perspective.
It's a thought-provoking concept. It really does challenge us to think about how the arrangement of a text can shape its meaning. Even if we don't fully agree with all of Dr. Heim's conclusions,
mm-hmm,
his approach encourages us to engage more deeply with the text and appreciate the artistry involved in its construction.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
what can our listener take away from all this?
Yeah.
Why should they care about these ancient proverbs and their hidden connections?
Well, I think there are several key takeaways.
Okay.
First, it reminds us that even these like seemingly simple texts can contain layers of meaning. We shouldn't just skim the surface.
Right.
We need to slow down.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
And look for those subtle connections and variations,
right,
that might point to a deeper message.
It's like we're being trained to become more attentive readers.
Exactly.
More astute observers, not just of texts.
Right.
But of the world around us.
For sure. And second, this exploration of Proverbs,
yeah,
it prompts us to think about the editorial process itself,
hmm,
whether we agree with Dr. Heim's specific conclusions or not.
Right.
His approach highlights the significant impact that the arrangement of a text can have on its meaning.
So it's not just about what the words say in isolation.
Exactly.
But about how they're presented and how they're woven together to create this larger tapestry of meaning.
Precisely. It encourages us to think about the artistry involved in crafting a text.
Yeah.
The choices made by authors and editors to guide the reader towards a particular understanding.
You know what? This deep dive has definitely made me want to go back and reread Proverbs.
Yeah.
And maybe even other familiar texts with a fresh perspective.
I think that's great. And I think that leads us to a final thought-provoking question for your listener.
Is that?
If we accept that the book of Proverbs might contain these intentional groupings and variant repetitions,
right,
what other texts might benefit from this kind of analysis?
Oh, that's a good question.
Could there be hidden connections and editorial strategies at play in other books, poems, or even speeches that we encounter in our daily lives?
That's an excellent question to leave everyone with.
Yeah.
It's like we've been given this new set of lenses to view the world through a new appreciation for the power of language and the subtle ways in which meaning is constructed.
It is pretty amazing. And who knows what other hidden treasures we might uncover if we start looking for those connections, those echoes, those subtle variations that whisper to us from across time and space.
This has been a truly enlightening deep dive into the world of ancient wisdom. Thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Of course.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those minds sharp.